Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from Pueblo, Colorado on this 18th day of May, 2010. We're very excited about today's show, folks, because Nell Minow, the famous movie mom, is back with us. If you'll remember, Nell joined us last year in a fun aliens versus monsters debate with Mad Movie Man A.J. Hockery, and we're delighted she's agreed to be our guest again. Although known primarily for her advice to parents about entertainment suitable for children, I think Nell plans to focus on an entirely different topic during today's show. She's chosen the subject herself, and it's a very interesting one indeed, guilty pleasure films. Now, I don't know about you, dear listeners, but the combination of the movie mom and guilty pleasure films is irresistible to me. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Nell.
Thank you. It's always a lot of fun to be on the show. And even though it was my idea, I'm going to dispute the entire notion of a guilty pleasure. If it's a pleasure, in the movies at least, it should not be guilty. I think that if you love it, it's okay to love it, even if it's not a classic. And I also feel very strongly that we need to rate movies by two different sets of criteria. One is sort of its essential goodness as an aesthetic work of art, but the other is really just the pleasure principle. I think that there are movies that just go down easily. They work with us, they make us happy, and we watch them a dozen times and never get tired of them, and that's valid too.
Well, speaking of pleasures, it's always a pleasure to have you here, and we do have lots of questions for you, but I'm glad you started out by sort of absolving us for feeling guilty about watching so many of these films. And I wanted to bring on Jazz Shaw and Nikki Starr to help with the show before going directly into the interview now. So, Nikki, are all systems go in the chat room?
Yes, ma'am, they are. We are very excited to talk about this topic.
I know it's one that has me thinking about it this whole past week preparing for the show, and I just didn't realize I had so many guilty pleasures. But I want to say that we really appreciate the people who signed up for the chat, as well as all our other listeners. And as always, we appreciate Jazz for taking time out of his busy political schedule to co-host the show. I know he's been looking forward to Nell's return visit. So, Jazz, say hi to the movie mom.
Hey, Movie Mom, it's a pleasure to have you back. I always look forward to it because you have such an interesting job in movies and one where you and I don't always see eye to eye. So it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's always a lot of fun to argue with you.
And it does. It makes it so much more fun when we all don't agree. But I think that both of you are probably disappointed that A.J. couldn't be with us this time. He really wanted to be here, especially since he and you, Nell, made such a great team the last time around when you defended the aliens and he defended the monsters.
That was fun.
but he did send me some comments about our topic today, and so if we have time, I'll read some of the things that he said. But, Jazz, why don't you get the ball rolling with your first questions for Nell?
Well, I don't know. She's kind of deflated it a little bit by absolving us ahead of time.
Shame on you.
I feel like
now.
The Pope came through and, like, sprinkled holy water or something on the area. But, and I don't know if I can agree with you, but, yeah, I want you to go ahead and define for us what you're taking as a base for what it means to have a guilty pleasure. Because to me, and I'll be interested to hear this, I think it's very dependent on the person, because what makes – one person feel guilty might be very different from somebody else. If you have a guy who's really into horror movies and thinks nobody is bothered by that, but they might be very embarrassed or feel guilty about really enjoying a cartoon or something, you know, or so you can see where I'm going. So, you know, what are you using for a definition?
I think you've got it exactly right. A guilty pleasure is really very subjective. It's one that you're a little embarrassed to admit, and I think that we should just, you know, get everybody out of the closet and into the open with their guilty pleasures. You know, you're exactly right. I think that some guilty pleasures are guilty or make us feel guilty because we saw them at a really important transitional moment in our lives. It was the first horror movie that we saw, the first romantic movie we saw. It really affected us in a strong way, so that even though we know that if we'd seen it at another time, it might not be important to us, it remains a touchstone. And then there are other guilty pleasures, and this is a whole category that I'm going to touch on with my answers to some of the other questions that you've got, where they're guilty because the movie, for one reason or another, is not politically correct. It's an older movie that you wouldn't find very easily. I'm not saying this is a guilty pleasure of mine, but Song of the South is an example where it's just never going to be sold in the United States again because it's now considered to be racist, although it's still very popular in other countries. And I think some people might feel guilty about that. And I've got some movies that are guilty pleasures that where I surprised myself. I didn't like the movie the first time through. I tend to be very structuralist and really rely a lot on structure and on character and on dialogue. However, I find that the second time through, after I've let go of my expectations for the movie, I find that there are other things about the movie that I enjoy and that I'm happy to watch it again. And so some of my movies I find fall into that category.
Okay, now break it down by genre for us a little bit. Just right at the top of the list, I will ask you to go ahead and tell us if there's one genre that lends itself more, because what came to my mind as an adult and somebody who does not raise children, I watch a lot of movies that wouldn't normally make your recommended list, and I find myself actually feeling guilty about some movies that might be on your list because it's like, oh, no, you're watching a children's movie. One movie I have in my collection at home, believe it, okay, we'll come out of the closet like you say, I have Little Mermaid on DVD. I like that movie, and I love watching that crab sing that song under the sea, but it's a kid's movie, and I would die if any of my friends came over and I was in there watching that by myself.
But just remember that the people who wrote the music for that movie wrote the music for Little Shop of Horrors, and the songs are some of the best that Disney has ever had. It was a huge turning point for Disney, and I love it for that reason, too. It's featured in a new movie about Disney and about how the Disney company, and particularly the animation part of the company, really had to come out of a terrible, terrible doldrums, and it's a wonderful movie, and I, you know, props to you for liking it, but I think you're quite right in saying that we often find the guilty pleasures are the ones that are outside of our wheelhouse, or the, you know, the, and I always say that you can't be a movie critic if you don't like every genre. Now, I personally do not like slasher films, but even I can find pleasure in certain, in horror films sometimes.
I think you're on the right track there with the embarrassment angle, because I think that's what I've used when I've been thinking about guilty pleasure films. And I was just looking here at what AJ said. Here's his definition. A guilty pleasure is a film that you acknowledge as awful in some respects, maybe terrible writing, shoddy acting, and so forth, yet you enjoy it in spite of its flaws, for its entertainment value outweighs its shortcomings, and you're too busy having a ball to really get mad when some aspect of the movie bites the big one.
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is the ultimate sort of guilty pleasure question, which is, you're flipping through the cable channels. On one channel is a certified classic. You've seen it. You've loved it. It's got many Oscars. And then on another channel is just some silly movie that is by no means a classic, and you've got some time on your hands. Hasn't there been a time when you've watched the silly movie instead of the classic?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I like AJ's definition because I think one of the ones in my collection that would fall into that category, I'm a big fan of the sci-fi, just horrible film, A Boy and His Dog, which is an
oh,
old
yes.
one. It's one of the
of
really
like
terrible B movies, but I just
right.
love it.
You know what I find in terrible B movies that really kind of separates the wheat from the chaff for me is sincerity. That you see a lot of movies that are sort of multiplex fodder. They feature actresses named Jennifer, you know, and they have cutesy rom-com ideas, you know, concepts and really nowhere to go. And they demonstrate a contempt for the audience that I find so horrifying and you know, so disturbing. And yet some of these little independent films, they may be lousy. I mean, now think about Ed Wood for a minute. He just made those movies with such conviction that's why we have a horrified fascination with them even to this day. And I think that you can go very far with sincerity and an authenticity, even if your other skills like, you know, writing and acting are not really there.
That's a good point. And I was asking my husband before the show what genre did he think lent itself to the guilty pleasure. And first he said, well, how about porn movies? And I said, no, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
He said, well, romantic movies. So that there are a lot of guilty pleasures in that category.
Sure. I mean, one of the most famous romantic movies of all time, I would consider a guilty pleasure. I was a fan of it before it was really became considered a classic, and that's An Affair to Remember. And if you sit down and watch An Affair to Remember, you know, about the entire middle section, the entire hour in the middle, is just excruciating. I mean, even I can't watch that anymore. So I watch the first half hour, and then I do my laundry or something, and I come back and watch the last half hour. But that's a good example of a movie that, you know, in a way has to be called a guilty pleasure because the middle is so bad.
I think you're right about that, and it's been made and remade, and so
four
many
times.
People have played those. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And but my favorite guilty pleasure movie of all time does fall into this romantic category, I think. It's probably one of the most overblown and implausible films that I've ever seen. It stars Antonio Banderas and Angelina Jolie.
Oh,
and
my
the
goodness.
Name of it is, I think it's supposed to be a romantic thriller. It's Original Sin is the name of the movie. But it's just so unintentionally funny in so many scenes. And it goes overboard, showing it with big, unflattering close-ups of Angelina Jolie's famous lips.
Yeah.
And you just gasp, you know, when that comes on. But the co-stars, they just sizzled together, and they never looked more gorgeous. And I just find this movie irresistible every time I watch it. So it's definitely on my list of guilty pleasures in the romance category, probably in the thriller category too. Have you ever seen that?
I consider the entire romantic comedy genre to fall into guilty pleasure category if I can find
any of them. To the extent there's any pleasure, right?
If they give me any pleasure whatsoever, like I guess now today is the day for my friends to all disown me. I will confess that I really like Pretty Woman, but I'm horribly embarrassed about it.
To me, that's the magic of movies, because it's morally completely reprehensible, and yet it's just adorable. You can't help loving it. You can't help it. You can't help it. And that's
okay,
part
enough
of
romance. Let's drag it off before the estrogen level goes too
Wait,
high.
Wait, I want to say one more guilty pleasure in
okay.
romance, and that is, and this one is major twinkle factor, so be prepared, French Kiss.
With Kevin Klein.
And Meg Ryan and Jean Reno.
I love it.
And Tim Hutton. And, you know, I've often said there are two things that just about always work in movies. It's almost impossible to mess it up in a movie that has one of two things, and that is revenge. For some reason, revenge just always, always works. And you think about a movie like Kill Bill, that's just nothing but revenge stripped down to the essence. And the other is somebody teaching somebody something. Generally works very, very well in movies. And here in French Kiss, you do have that great revenge moment on Tim Hutton that works so well. And you just have Meg Ryan being adorable. And Kevin Klein, who doesn't, you know, they call him Kevin D. Klein because he turns down so many movie scripts. And so you don't really get to see him too much in a sort of a straight romantic comedy like this, and he's lovely.
Oh, that is, I just love that film, and I don't even feel embarrassed to say that. And AJ picked a 1990s film, She's All That, with Freddie Prinze Jr. When he was a teen. And it looks to me like it was a sort of a My Fair Prom Queen type
Definitely.
Of movie.
It is Pygmalion set in a high school. I'm not a huge fan of that, but I'm going to give him credit for having seen that at a formative moment in his life. That's the only
Probably.
Possible explanation.
Yeah, he said that it holds a lot of nostalgic value
exactly.
for him. He said it was
yeah.
a dumb, fun flick back then, and it still is, but he still has a crush on Rachel Lee Cook because
yeah,
she was the prom queen.
Well, I'm feeling more and more fortunate by the moment because I haven't seen any of those films. So,
good. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one. I find Rachel Lee Cook to have a very, can I just say, understated screen presence that doesn't do a lot for me. I thought Freddie Prinze Jr. was darling in the movie, and it does have a couple of good people in supporting roles. But other than that, I think let's move on.
Let's move on. Jazz, we're going to move on.
Well, let's move along to the action film so I can kind of like tone down the estrogen level in here.
Surely there are
some action films you are feeling a bit guilty about liking.
I'm horribly guilty. I'm going to, this is where I'm ripping my heart out and stomping that sucker fat by revealing this because everybody will show utter disdain for my choice because this is really a horrible, horrible movie. But for some reason, I completely love it. And it is called Masterminds, and it is Die Hard set in a school with Patrick Stewart as the bad guy. And
oh, my gosh.
He takes over a whole school for rich kids. And I have to tell you, it is a simply awful movie, and I completely love it.
I'm going to have to put that one on my list to see. I mean, if
don't
you
say I didn't warn you.
If you like that, and I was looking here at AJ's pick, and he says Commando, which is another one I haven't seen with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And
he says it's action cheese at its finest.
Yeah.
Considering the dopey stuff Arnold's acted in throughout his career, it takes a lot for Commando to out-goofy the rest of the pack, which it does.
Well,
thanks to the groan-worthy one-liners.
Yeah, okay. I have another one that has my favorite single action movie line in it, and that is Under Siege, which to me is the perfection of action cheesiness. I just, you know, the Playboy centerfold that is airlifted onto the airship, whatever that vessel is called, and my favorite thing in that movie is where, and of course Tommy Lee Jones, fantastic bad guy, Gary Busey, fantastic bad guy, and my favorite thing is that Steven Seagal plays a chef, and they keep saying, "What is that? You know, who is that chef?" And that is to me the ultimate sort of action movie line. And in any action movie that I ever see, where some unexpected guy, unexpected only to the bad guy, everybody in the audience already knows that he's an action hero. I always say it's that who is that chef moment.
Oh, the chef moment.
The chef moment, absolutely. Wow. AJ and I were kind of on the same page, Betty Jo, because the one that I had for action was Total Recall, also an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh.
I really love the film, even though the whole premise of how they reinstitute a breathable atmosphere on Mars in a period of approximately 13 seconds by melting a block of ice under the ground and the horrible mutants that are on the planet and all that. I mean, it's just so terrible, but I will stop and watch it whenever it's on.
Well, I like that one, too, and I think that there are a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger guilty pleasure movies that would be on my list, but my favorite, I'll just say three words, and you'll know what my favorite action movie is. It might not fit it might not be tunneled right into action completely, but I'm going to say Unleash the Kraken.
The original
was okay. No, I'm unleashing the Kraken for the remake. Yes, for the remake, I do. I did feel embarrassed. I even put that in my review. And of course, the acting in this remake was some of the most wooden acting that I've ever seen. But you know, those amazing, well, that Medusa, that with the wildly flowing locks and guarding the underworld, and then Pegasus, the beautiful winged horse. So those kind of things made me, I guess, unleash my inner 12-year-old, and I absolutely love this remake. So I'm sorry to say that. I hate to admit it.
That's all right. Let your freak flag fly.
Let me, yeah, there. Okay.
Yeah. And, well, and on that list, by the way, and we got to move along, but I did want to, in my collection, and I have watched it more times than I would ever want to admit to anybody, was the 1996 film Twister with Helen Hunt.
Love it. One of my favorite guilty pleasures. Absolutely. That defines guilty pleasure for me.
Anything with Bill Paxton in it, who I consider to be one of the most wooden, untalented actors in Hollywood in my lifetime. I just feel terrible sitting down and watching any movie with Bill Paxton, and the premise of this movie was just so silly, but I really enjoyed it, and I've always liked Helen Hunt.
And Meatloaf and Philip Seymour Hoffman and all these people are in it. Oh my! And the cow flies around. Oh my God! I love that movie. Love that.
And what about Jamie Gertz? Jamie Gertz's comedy role in that.
Jamie Gertz with a southern accent.
I'm
sorry, I got to butt in for a minute if we're going to still do action flicks, and I didn't get to do anything for the other one, but that's okay. How about the Mad Maxes? Mad Max.
Oh, nobody thinks those are guilty. Those are classy movies.
Come on.
Those are some of the best movies of all time.
Nikki, you do not have to feel guilty about Mad Max or Road Warrior.
Much more down and dirty than that.
But that would
Transformers.
Sure you're okay. Are there any suggestions so far from the chat room that people
kidding?
That you would
they're
like
awesome.
To
They're awesome.
Oh,
yeah,
What are they?
Well, we've been. People are putting in like Oklahoma. Okay, Legend with Tom Cruise.
It's a Mad World, Mr. Mom. I guess he's related to Movie Mom in a way, but Mad World. That's a classic.
Yes.
Love that movie.
Absolutely.
My husband and I, one of our favorite catch lines is, "Welcome to Baracho, honey." That's from that movie.
So everybody is getting into the act with their favorite guilty pleasures. Well, somebody suggested Oklahoma, and of course that's in my favorite genre, which would be a musical. So why don't we move to that particular genre?
One more action film. Point Break is another just fabulously cheesy movie.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yes.
Love it.
Horrible film, and yes, I will watch it when it comes on.
Patrick Swayze, you could have a whole subgenre of guilty pleasures because Roadhouse is a great guilty pleasure. Dirty Dancing is a guilty pleasure. Ghost is a guilty pleasure. I mean, Patrick Swayze is like the king of guilty pleasures.
Well, yeah, he's a co-king. And when you talk to AJ again, Betty Jo, make sure you let him know that I said we could expand his list extensively because really anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it that you can sit through watching and say you enjoyed is a guilty pleasure.
I believe that's right, except for True Lies. I don't think anyone felt guilty about watching that. I thought that he was excellent in that, and so was everyone. But what about musicals?
Okay.
Do you have any guilty pleasure musicals?
I do, and I love musicals also. And basically, if it has Betty Grable and Dan Daly in it, I'm in a very happy guilty pleasure place. Especially if it's a backstage musical. I love backstage musicals. And again, this is a genre where you will occasionally find, can I just say, racially insensitive material, and you can fast forward through that. But,
just a little.
Yeah, just a little, yeah. But even into the 40s and 50s, really shocking stuff. But that's good. That's a good reminder of how far we've come and how far we still have to go. But, yeah, as I said, that whole subgenre of Betty Grable musicals, love them all.
Oh, I did, too, the Dolly Sisters, and she was just great in that. She had so much energy when she danced and when she performed. I thought she was terrific. There's no business like show business
with Ethel Merman and Marilyn Monroe and Donald O'Connor. I mean, how exciting is it to see Marilyn Monroe and Donald O'Connor as the romantic couple in a movie?
I know. I do watch that whenever it comes on TV. But I don't really feel guilty about that. But I do feel very, very, very guilty My favorite guilty pleasure musical is a recent film released in 2009 called Dance Flick.
Yeah.
I can't believe I actually enjoyed this movie, and I hate to admit that I do, because it pokes fun at so many movies I love because of the dancing, you know, movies like Fame and High School Musical and Hairspray. But it's got so many raunchy scenes and more crude language than necessary. It's really offensive to dancers and other living things, but it's just hilarious.
And other living things. That's a fairly sweeping
yes.
condemnation.
I know. It's definitely not politically correct. That's
right.
Exactly
all
right.
All
yes,
sender
yes.
life forms.
Well, moving along to the horror genre, we have to have AJ's pick, since he's our horror expert. And, of course, it's going to be one that some of us may not have even heard of. And it's Captive Wild Woman. And that's a film from the 1940s, he says. He said it tried to start a new monster franchise with John Carradine as a mad scientist who turns an ape into a woman, played by Aquanetta. But he said the series petered out fast, and while the movie itself is comprised of a good chunk of circus stock footage, its cheapness is incredibly enduring. So I haven't seen it. Have you?
No, but any movie with Aquanetta, I am definitely up for any time. I would say that for me, one of my favorite guilty pleasures in that genre is The Craft with Robin Tunney oh. and Fairuza Balk, who I think is a sensational actress, and I just think it is first class cheese.
I just saw it on TV the other night, and I was spellbound with that particular movie. What made you feel guilty about that one?
It's a movie about high school witches.
Well, duh. Oh, W, witches. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now I see. What's gotten into you today?
Now I see.
Well, I only had one pick in that genre, Betty Jo, yeah. But I know AJ actually loves this film, and but it's just so horrible. Big Man Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
If
I haven't heard of that.
If you haven't watched it, oh, it was an independent offering. It's from Japan, but they do have it in English or with subtitles, whichever way you want to watch it. And I could take up the whole show. Just put it on your list. Get a chance to watch it, and you'll be embarrassed, but I think you might like it.
Big Man Japan. I'm definitely putting that on my list. Well, mine is Plan 9 from Outer Space, and I know it's cited by many critics as the worst movie ever made, but it really is a lot of fun to watch. It has such non-scary-looking aliens, and they try to conquer Earth by reviving the dead. I guess Bela Lugosi died during
right.
production. So Ed Wood, who was the director, replaced him in most scenes with a non-lookalike covered in a cape. With a special effects, sets, and costumes, they come across as unbelievably bad. But it's just a real hoot to watch. And people who haven't seen Plan 9 from Outer Space, I think, are culturally disadvantaged. So.
The chat is adding in Nightmare on Elm Street, People Under the Stairs, Evil Dead.
People Under the Stairs is a very good guilty pleasure. The House That Dripped Blood is one that
Ooh.
I've always liked. That's an oldie.
House Blood.
You know,
who is
we burned now? Through a lot of the show already. We got to get moving here. Now, can you move on to the comedies for us just real quick? Because that's one of my favorite genres.
Yes. I'm going to go with an oldie here. This, again, is politically incorrect. And so it will never be released on DVD. It's called Miss Tatlock's Millions. And it's about a guy who has to pretend to be, can I just say, developmentally disabled in order to inherit a fortune, and falls for the person who's supposed to be his sister. Now, that's a lot. But
it's
extremely funny and very well done. I liked it a lot.
I picked Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor. It's an embarrassing film to watch, and it wasn't very
yeah.
well made, but I just love the story.
And again, that one's been made three times. The original is pretty good.
I think I've seen all three of them, too. And AJ, you won't be surprised, picked Jingle All the Way. Guess who it stars? Arnold Schwarzenegger again.
There seems to be a theme there.
He calls it a compulsively watchable guilty pleasure. My friends have doubted my sanity after having seen this so many times. But again, Arnold's self-aware cheesiness helps make this overly commercialized Christmas comedy go down easier. And then he says, nothing beats Arnold yelling at Phil Hartman to put that cookie down. And I don't remember that scene, although I've seen this movie, and I liked it. I didn't feel guilty about liking it. So
I think we have discovered that AJ is actually a closet Schwarzenegger fan. I am so good with him about that. By the way, I want to disagree with the chat. The Incredible Mr. Limpet and the rest of the Don Knotts movies are not guilty pleasures. I do not feel guilty. I will always sit down and watch Don Knotts.
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken is a classic.
A great classic, and the Incredible Mr. Shrinking Mr. Limpet was also fantastic, whatever the proper title was.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where he turns into a fish, that one.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Me too.
Well, this is certainly personal. I mean, we all have reasons to feel embarrassed, I guess, and reasons to love the films, even though they are awful. My guilty pleasure comedy is Cabin Boy, released back in 1994. And AJ says that his friends doubt his sanity on the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, but my friend practically disowned me. A friend that went to Cabin Boy with me. Because I was the only one in the theater that was laughing. And I mean, I was laughing through the entire film.
Wow.
No one else was laughing in the film. This is Chris Elliott playing a finishing school graduate who winds up on a fishing boat where all the crew make fun of him. And it's just stupid all the way through. It's the famous scene where Dave Letterman has the parrot on his shoulder.
Right.
walking out of the theater, my friend wouldn't walk with me.
The two of you may be the only people who actually bought tickets for that one.
Well, there were a few other people in the theater, but they were not amused, and I was just bent over laughter most of the time during that particular film. So
the chat is tossing in Billy Madison, Funny Farm, and pretty much anything with Adam Sandler in it.
Wow.
Any Adam Sandler film has got to be pretty much a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
If it is, to the extent that it is a pleasure at all.
at least guilty.
Oh, I liked Little Nicky. I liked
okay,
the Water
what
Boy.
What about Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not guilty. That's a great film.
It's kind of guilty. It's
okay. And Part 2 was even better.
Yes, Part 2 is really good. Part 2 is pretty great.
Betty Jo, shall we move on to I think the movie mom's specialty, family films?
Yes, please do.
Now, I want to know. I've been waiting for this one, and I didn't want to make sure we had time because I want to know what family films you could possibly feel guilty about watching. I thought that was just your wheelhouse. That's your cup of tea right there.
Well, it's true. And remember, I review all movies because parents of teenagers have a much bigger challenge in deciding what's right than parents of little kids. But I don't think there are any guilty pleasures in kids' films. I mean, you could. I'm very much of the view that just because it's appropriate for kids doesn't make it a good movie. And I take a lot of heat when I give a bad review to something like the Curious George movie because they say, hey, my kid loves it. But I think it's important to start showing kids good movies from the beginning. And I think that any movie that is worthwhile is not a guilty pleasure for kids, and I don't really think that there is such a thing.
I'm not disappointed. I can stand by that answer. I respect you for it. Well, you disagree with me a lot. The movies that I think are family-friendly, you always tell me are not family-friendly. But also on that list, I had to include Shrek. I love Shrek, but I think of that as a family movie.
That's
maybe
a great
it's
movie.
Not,
have you
I don't
seen
know
the
if
fourth
it's appropriate
one yet?
For kids. Oh, yeah.
Sure
I've
it
seen
is.
Them all.
You seen the fourth one?
Oh, no, not four. No, that's just coming out in the theaters, isn't it?
Right, but I've seen it twice already and loved it. Loved it. Thought it was the best one since the first one.
I liked all three.
Yeah.
We got them all on DVD.
I loved them, man. I'm so glad.
That's what
to
I mean.
Hear that.
You know, all the Pixar movies, the Disney movies, you know, those are all, you know, anything that I think is good for the family, I don't consider a guilty pleasure at all. And to the extent that it is a guilty pleasure, it's just that, you know, I have been known to watch them even with no children in the room. But I don't feel bad about that.
Wow.
How about you and
AJ? Should I feel bad? Should I feel bad about just absolutely loving the Air Bud and Air Buddies films?
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone because they keep making more of them, and now they got the Space Buddies and Santa Buddies.
Oh, that was so cute.
I will say, I was amazed. Of all the things I've ever put on my website, the one that most surprised me in terms of the level of enthusiasm was when I wrote about the Buddies movies. They've got a lot of fans out there.
You can tell who's the amateur here because I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never heard of those films.
Well, you probably wouldn't like the film, so don't worry about it. But,
yeah.
Okay.
But if you had kids,
they're cute
of a certain age.
Did AJ have a submission on that one, Betty Jo?
No, he didn't have any musical, and he didn't have any family films that he could think of that were guilty pleasures. So.
Now there is one film, by the way, and Nell's going to get ready to just scream. I didn't put it in anywhere else because I don't know what genre it falls into. I can't identify a genre. Maybe you pros can help me out if it does. I think perhaps it's just so incredibly bad that it defies categorizing. Perhaps one of the worst movies of all time, and yes, I own a copy of it, and yes, I will come out and say I actually enjoyed it, was Showgirls.
You know, that definitely, like Plan 9 from Outer Space, that one is kind of a so bad it's good. It's so completely cheesy. Plus, any movie with Gina Gershon is going to be watchable. That other movie that she did where she stole money from her boyfriend, that was an amazing movie.
Oh yeah,
Bound, is that Bound?
Yeah, Bound. Yeah,
Bound.
Right,
yep.
Right.
Bound,
yeah, with Meg
yeah.
Tilly or Jennifer Tilly. But yeah, that I mean, so I think
I also love Jennifer Tilly. Yes.
Yeah, anything with Gina Gershon has got the most adorable overbite in movie history, and I you know, I totally get you on that. But now I am going to horrify you because I'm going to say two movies that are, I guess, I would say maybe for elementary or middle schoolers that both got bad reviews. One of them got some of the worst reviews in the history of Rotten Tomatoes, and I like them both. Okay, this may be the only time that I was the only person who gave a good review to a movie that's on Rotten Tomatoes, and I will go to my deathbed saying this is actually not a bad movie, and that is Bratz. Now, it is true that the dolls are disgusting. And I don't believe in the dolls, that they're very trashy. But the movie itself, not only is it a nice movie that has a sense of humor about itself and deals with some issues in a good way and is very counter-stereotypical, but and perfectly enjoyable in its own way. But in addition to all of that, it has a really good portrayal of a disabled teenager, and you just don't get that. It has a guy who is a hugely popular, happy football star who is deaf. And normally in movies, the disabled character, that's their one presenting characteristic, is that they're disabled and that they're, you know, sort of saintly about it. And I love the fact that there was a real character who was, you know, had a total personality and dealt with everything in such a confident way. And so I actually like the movie Bratz, and I think it got a bad rap because of its association with the dolls.
And was it family friendly?
Yeah, it's very well. Sure, it's intended for like 8-year-olds, and I think it's
okay. I just assumed that the dolls were so disgusting that the movie would be inappropriate. All right,
but it isn't. And I thought it was a lovely movie, and then also a movie that I will watch anytime it's on TV. I just for some reason this movie goes right to my lizard brain, and that is Stick It, the movie about gymnastics with Jeff Bridges.
Oh, wow, that was one of my favorites.
I love that movie all over the place. There's like 20 different things I love about it. It's got a smart, strong heroine. It's got a good story. Jeff Bridges, as always, is sensational as the coach. And also, you don't have to have a boyfriend to be a happy person. And the boys in the movie are totally cool with the girls being so strong and successful. And I just loved the movie. Loved it. Loved
I saw
it.
About 10 minutes of it. I will confess, I did see about 10 minutes when my niece was up visiting at one point, and then I began working on attempting to slip my wrists, and I missed threads when I was in the hospital. So,
Well, I didn't have to slip my wrists or want to, because I just thought it was a terrific movie. Now, you mentioned, Nell, we're starting to talk about movies that we certainly don't feel guilty about seeing, and you mentioned that this Shrek movie coming up on Friday is the best one since
Good.
The first one.
Yeah.
Are there any other films coming out this summer that you would recommend to as family films?
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm completely looking forward to Toy Story 3, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's probably, you know, Pixar knows how to make good movies, and I think that may be one of the best films of the summer, so I'm really looking forward to that. And then also there's a movie coming out based on one of the best children's books ever, and that is Beezus and Ramona, although I think the movie is called Ramona and Beezus. And there was a television series based on the books years ago with a young Sarah Pauly, who's now a very distinguished actress and director. But they've got Selena Gomez, the Disney star, in the film, and it looks like and the fantastic grown-up support. I think it looks like it's going to be a lovely movie, so I'm looking forward to that very much.
Well, those are good recommendations, and I don't want to forget to encourage our listeners to go to your terrific website. That's www.moviemom.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
And
for
more information.
Right, at moviemom at moviemom.com, too.
Oh, great.
Oh, and I'd like to include, by the way, we didn't get to it before, I'm sorry, all of the Star Trek The Next Generation movies that came out on the big screen. I'm kind of embarrassed, but I was such a huge nerd dork fan of the series. I went and watched them all. I got them all on tape, and I watched them.
Well, that's all right. I like those Star Trek movies, too, so don't feel bad. Oh, dear. Oh, I see our time. Oh, my gosh. It's almost up. Nell, you just made this 45 minutes go by so fast. You've been a marvelous guest again today, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Always my pleasure, and I look forward to next time.
When we get Nell in the future, we have got to block off an hour, Betty Jo, because she's always just sucking up the entire time with so much fun.
I think
you're right. Well, we'll have to do an hour, and we'll get AJ back on, and we'll
and
get both of them.
I want to thank the chatters, too. I have just enjoyed your comments so much, and I'm talking on the radio, so I can't answer as much as I would like, but I've read all of the comments and enjoyed them tremendously. You've got a great audience.
Oh, they are so perceptive, and I just appreciate so much the people signing up for the chat. And it's always great to have you on our show, Nell. But I'd like to wrap things up with a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support, and special thanks to Nikki and Jazz for everything they do to make this show such fun to host. Thanks also to our chatters and other listeners for tuning in, and, of course, to Nell for cluing us in on her guilty pleasure movies and giving us so much to think about. Please come back on Tuesday, June 1st, for another lively discussion about movies. Our special guest will be Christine Evangelista, star of Goodbye Baby, which is being released on DVD that very day. It's about a young woman struggling to be a successful stand-up comic in a profession dominated by men. That will be the first show in our Salute to the Funny Ladies of Showbiz during June. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. We will be taking a day off next Tuesday, so I encourage everyone on that day to listen to some of our archive shows. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's the talented A.J. Daniels with a song we dedicate to all our wonderful Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Stay with me and be true. much I love you.